Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Tom Racker, sports editor of the News Tribune, and, that's right, there are two for one today, Greg Jackson, assistant sports editor for the News Tribune. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
All right, so we're here today to talk about sports. Both of them are in the sports department. So first of all, let's just talk about what do we have as far as the sports department here.
Okay, in addition to Greg and I, we have Jason Strickland and Colin O'Brien. Colin is our Mizzou beat writer and does some layout stuff for us as well on the physical paper. And then Jason Strickland, who covers the – well, we'll just start with football. You know, basically covers the Jays in a lot of sports and as well as an award-winning photographer.
All right, so things were perking along. We've talked about this previously, but things were perking along until about March when the pandemic hit. And at that point – there was basically no sports to cover. Is that a fair statement?
That is fair.
So at that point, we have just been filling with wire stories, coaching changes, things like that. But then within the last month, let's say, the world has changed again in that sports is starting to raise its head. So what kind of sports are going on now?
Right now, we're covering a high school summer baseball league. And it's not something new, so it's not something because of the pandemic. They've had it in the past. It's because in the past it's been a developmental league. It's where graduated seniors didn't play, but you used that time for a month in June, playing a couple times a week, a couple doubleheaders a night. You would use that to kind of help yourself develop into, you know, for some of the smaller schools, you know, when they play fall ball, or for the bigger schools when they get back into spring. What has changed is that for the first time they've allowed graduated seniors to play because of you know, the pandemic, and they didn't get their spring season. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these teams in their league, like, the one Helias 1, which I'll explain Helias 2 in a minute. Helias 1 is the team made up of the graduated seniors. There's eight of them. And, you know, they wanted to come back and they wanted to play together. And so they've done that since really the start of June. But then there are some schools, you know, like, you know, Jeff City, that they're either playing on travel ball teams or just other stuff, and they only have a couple seniors. So it's kind of, you know, the veterans, the experienced players, it just depends on which team you're watching. You know, and some of these teams are really using it just to be developmental. You know, like Capital City, for an example. You know, they just wanted to play this season just to get better, you know, because they only had freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
And then Helias 2, which is the team basically would have been – the highest varsity team in this league. It's made up of the kids that are going to be playing next spring.
Okay.
So everybody's getting some experience. You know, I don't think anybody's getting necessarily cheated out of playing time. But, you know, it's just been fun. It's been great just to get out. And the kids are having fun. You can see they're having fun. People are coming out to watch. And, you know, and it's a couple nights a week, frankly, gets us out of the office.
Sure, sure. So what are some of the things different? I mean, how many years have both of you, first of all, been covering baseball?
This would be 35 for me.
Okay.
This would be 11 for me.
11, okay. So many years watching games, covering games. So compare that to what the games are like now. So what are some of the changes you've seen because of the pandemic specifically that you're seeing now?
I'll go back to when this league started on June 2nd. Colin and I went up to cover Capital City's first ever baseball game. They played at Southern Boone. Start off a little strange because Colin and I were the only ones allowed in the grandstand. All the fans had to be beyond the third base side in a parking lot, and they had to watch the games from their cars because they wanted to observe social distancing, which that's a normal thing at this time. If it was any other summer, that the grandstand would have been packed full of people. Then again, the game was moving along at a leisurely pace. I was like, okay, this is what baseball feels like. And then I can't remember the kid's name, but a Southern Boone player hit a home run. And he was coming around second, he's coming to third, and this is about the time where you high-five the third base coach, and then you get to home plate and you celebrate with your teammates, and there was none of that. He just, you know, walked along, and it was almost like they were ignoring him, but they really
right.
weren't. They, you know, a lot of teams just have some of those policies where, hey, like no high fives, no shaking hands. One of the things we have noticed after games, typically for after high school games, you have a handshake line. After these games, a lot of times you'll just have the players come to the baselines and they'll just tip their caps to the other team. You know, other than that, though, it's typical baseball. I mean, you know, you got a pitcher throwing the ball to a catcher. You've got batters at the plate hitting the ball. You've got plays at the plate. You've got bang-bang plays at first base. I would say it's 95% baseball, a typical baseball we'd see any other summer.
Okay. Well, but let's talk about beyond that. I mean, the dugouts. I mean, the dugout's a great spot there where you got 11 people crammed into a small, dirty spot there. It's bringing back flashbacks, I'll say, of my dugout experience. So what's it like now? I mean, clearly...
Well, I want to hear about your dugout experience.
I know you do. That's for a later version.
Okay. You know, one thing out at the American Legion Post 5 Sports Complex, I got all that out. They have what they call a social distancing bench outside the dugouts. They have a bench set up outside that when your team is in the field, the reserves are actually in the dugout. But when they come in to hit, the reserves then have to come outside and sit outside on the bench. You know, I call it the social distancing bench. I mentioned that to a player. He goes, yeah, I guess that's what it is. Well, yeah that is kind of what it is. And I think teams are really good about, you know, the team I've mostly covered is Helias One this summer. And I think they've done, a really good job of making sure social distancing stuff and reminding the kids of what they have to do, you know, all the time, because the last thing they need is for someone to get sick or for someone, you know, an administrator or somebody to come out and say, hey, you guys aren't doing this and this could set us back. You know, they just have to be reminded of what they need to do, because this is a first step. And if they can get through this, well, then we're getting into fall sports.
Right, right. So, and to me, baseball is one of those odd sports, and there's more than maybe any other sports. There's a little bit of shared equipment. You know, I go back to in the dugout, the water jug.
Do you just want to relive your childhood, Gary?
I do, Tom. That'll be later, Tom. But there is that element where, I mean, I'm assuming they have their own water bottles, they have their own equipment. There's a real concern about, you know, sharing such as that.
Yeah, you know, I know everybody says you have to have your own water bottle. I've seen that for the games, even everywhere else I've gone, you know. And I will say that perhaps I've seen them share a bat, but again, they're all wearing batting gloves at the time, so everything's kind of, I think, is good there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, at some point in the game, I feel like almost everybody's going to touch the game ball that's in play. I mean, I haven't really seen anybody take some hand sanitizer or wipe down the ball or anything like that, but I don't know what you do about that. I don't know. I haven't really seen them bring in new balls every other pitch, but you can only do so much. Right. I mean, otherwise these games are going to take 3 hours if you have to implement a lot of that other stuff.
Okay. Well, you referenced fall sports, so let's talk about that. This is the first step towards getting local sports going again. So what's the prospects now for fall sports?
How about this one, Greg?
I think at this point they're hoping to go on as planned. I think in the last time I was on this podcast, you posed that question to me, and I said if there is school, they will have fall sports. And I know it's been a couple of months later, I still hold firm with that. If they have school, we're going to have fall sports. One of the things I have noticed, while we have this baseball league, I mean, other sports, whether it's winter sports or fall sports, are having their summer activities now. And one of the things that I've noticed on social media, you bring up water bottles. They say, hey, basketball camps this week, you know, just make sure you bring your own water bottle. As far as I can tell, I mean, football, I know I cover Blair Oaks football, and I know they had their youth camp last week. And, you know, as far as I can tell, I think that went off without a hitch. So everything seemed to be going normal there. And going back to one of the things we talked about where it's like even the players policing themselves, Colin O'Brien wrote a story that was in Thursday's News Tribune about the Missouri football team, and one of the players that he talked to on a Zoom call was Missouri running back Larry Roundtree III. And one of the things he emphasized was, yes, it's, you know, coaches need to kind of police us, but it's also up to us older players to police them. He was like, you know, telling the younger players, hey, if you ever have to go out in public, just wear a mask. I mean, you know, it's not that hard. Just put out a mask, try to be socially distant. And, I mean, one of the reasons is he doesn't want any setbacks. This is going to be his last season.
Right.
He doesn't want to see his last season go away, as we saw a handful of athletes in the spring. And I would imagine you're going to have high school seniors kind of feeling the same way. I imagine we're going to see them be leaders and step up. And I would imagine they have the most reason to want to be smart about social distancing, because they want to have this season be as normal as possible since it will be their last high school one.
Yeah.
You know, back in middle May, late May, Greg might correct me when it was, we got something from the National Federation of High Schools. And it was basically a list of recommendations of what schools should do in an effort to get fall sports going. You know, that there were going to be fall sports. And, you know, you went through them, and some of them you just think are silly. You know, nobody can share a basketball at a basketball practice. You can't even pass it or everything. If you shoot, you have to get your own rebound. You know, baseball, you can't even basically play catch according to what they wanted to do.
Right.
Now, are they taking that too far? Yeah, I think right now when you get to just the pandemic in general, I think people are being almost too cautious, erring on that side rather than, you know, and I think common sense is going to come back to it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to help. But you still have to be very cognizant of what you're doing if you're a football player, or, you know, because I know camps are going to go on. Practice is going to start, I think, in July. They're going to have times to where they're going to have contact, and they've got to be smart about what they're doing, because all you need is for one team to get sick or one player to get sick, and then from there, everybody, you're going to go back to phase one again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the frightening aspect of it. And let's jump ahead to football as an example. Let's say JC or Helias. It's not uncommon for them to play schools from far away. You know, right now we're kind of in that incubator with the camps are here and it's all local people. And so, but then when you start adding in fans, and then you start adding in teams and their fans, it could be a very difficult situation.
Yeah, this fall, Helias is supposed to go play at Granite City, Illinois. It's too early to ask the question that I'm going to ask them, hey, what are the restrictions? Because right now, you know, that's 2 months away.
Right.
2 months ago, we didn't know where we'd be today. Yep. We're not going to know where we're going to be in 2 months. But, you know, if Illinois has different restrictions, are they even going to allow a team from Missouri to travel into Illinois to play?
Right.
I mean, we don't know that yet.
Right. So what are the rules? Let's back up for just a second. What are the rules with Misha as far as, so if the schools are remote learning, will they be able to have games?
when the pandemic first hit, I believe it was it was Monday, March 16th when Misha put this out, because I remember I just got back from the Final Four, and they were saying if you aren't on campus in school, you can't have any practices, you can't play any games. So, I mean, I don't think they've put anything into effect yet, but I would imagine they would go with that same thing. Like, if you're not meeting on campus, you know, how like, you have to draw the line somewhere. Like, so you're saying it's not safe to congregate at school, but it's okay to congregate right. And practice in games. And I would imagine they haven't put out any guidelines yet for the fall, because, again, it's mid-June. But I would imagine it would be along those same lines. Like, if you're not on campus, you can't play games on campus.
Yeah. I can't even imagine the scheduling nightmare that would be if you had folks in your conference that, you know, all of a sudden they're remote learning because they're wanting to be more cautious, and it would be, I think, problematic to put together seasons.
And that's going to be the hard part. As we saw back in April, I mean, all the Cole County schools, both public and private schools, spoke as one voice. We're all going to do the same thing. For example, I mean, then you've also got conferences, because these schools aren't in the same conference, aren't all in the same in the same county. You know, for example, the Tri-County Conference with Blair Oaks, I know that they kind of want to keep on the same wavelength for that. I think for that specific purpose, because they're like, you know what, we can't have one school not do something and the rest of us do it. It's almost like an all or none type proposition. Mm-hmm. So I guess to me, I'll be kind of more curious if it's if the way we operate things this fall, if it's going to be by county or if it's going to be by conference. And again, I know we're going to have a new conference, the Central Missouri Activities Conference, but there's going to be some schools like Jeff City and Helias in the past who are independents. They're not in a conference. So they would, I mean, that's one less thing that they'd have to worry about.
Well, to come back to the summer baseball, the summer league was supposed to have Hickman, Rockbridge, and Battle in it, Columbia Public Schools. Well, Boone County said, not only can you not travel out of the county to play, we're not going to let teams travel to play you in the county. The Columbia Public Schools did. Now, Tolton is doing it. And so, I mean, see, you've got that. And then you've got, well, Jeff City Public Schools and Helias, they're basically saying, yeah, we'll go and play. We, you know, it's not a problem. Or so I think that's going to, you know, that's going to be the thing. And then you have to add in the other conference school would be Sedalia over in Pettis County. What are they going to do? You know, you've got three different counties, three different school districts, plus Helias, trying to figure out how they're going to handle this. Are they going to be of one voice and come together? Or are they going to be, no, we have to listen to ours, to our own school district? And that's going to be the question, how they're going to handle it, if something would pop up.
Okay. So stay tuned for more on that. Well, boys, thank you for joining us today.
I think he's done with us.
I am done with you, yeah. You've worn me out again. Seriously, Tom and Greg, thank you for all you do here for the News Tribune, and we look forward to your future stories.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.